Back in 2000, I gave a message, a public message in Willard, Ohio, called What is a Believer? And I created a world of controversy because basically I made the audacious claim that belief mattered, that teaching mattered, that the elements of Paul's gospel were important to be embraced. Of course, then I was accused of putting conditions on salvation. But I was always quick to point out, it's not that belief gets you saved. It's that if you were appointed for salvation from the beginning, from before the disruption of the world, as Paul says that members of the body of Christ are, then sometime in your life you will believe the truth. I like to put horses where they belong, in front of carts, you see. And so if you've been appointed for salvation, you'll end up sometime in your life believing truth and not lies. Lies do not belong to the truth. Lies are the opposite of the truth. Well, people objected, not everybody, but as the years have rolled by, 18 years have gone by now, and many people, they're coming in droves saying, Martin, you were right. Obviously, teaching belongs to this salvation of ours. And God gives belief to those he chooses beforehand. That's the stated way. Paul, Romans 8. Those he predesignates, these he calls. Whom he calls, these he justifies. Whom he justifies, these he glorifies also. And in the meantime, he gives them belief. So every single day, folks, the more I learn about this, the more I'm shocked at how few people grasp it. Why? Because people love the world. Mainstream anything, is a refuge to most people. Because the main desire to most people in this life, in this eon, is to be loved and accepted. That's a default setting. I'm not saying it comes with the fact that mortality is operating in us. I think it's implanted by God. So the next question would be, who are you loved and accepted by? Do you want to be loved and accepted by the world? By the mainstream, by most people? Or do you want to be loved and accepted by other radicals like Paul? Or let's say Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ loves and accepts you no matter what. I guess what I mean to say is those followers of his, I use Paul as a prime example, who loved the truth, who promoted the truth, but to be associated with Paul put you out of your comfort zone. You were definitely out of the mainstream. You were definitely not in the finest social circles. In fact, the leader of your belief system in those days was in jail. That didn't look well, didn't look good for you. It didn't bode well for you. I've said this before, but I have never said it in my car, and I feel that I need to repeat this to you from my car, because you're going to hear it differently, and it's going to be a new shock, a fresh shock to you. I want to prove to you that most people, even those who say they are Christians, and they actually are Christians, they're not believers, they're Christians, they're not believers in the body of Christ, and this is why. People are Christians in the United States and in Europe only because Christianity is the prevailing religion. Christianity is the prevailing wind. It's the prevailing current. It's the mainstream. And the chief interest of those who embrace Christianity is not Christ. It's the prevailing religion. In other words, if these people were born in, say, Japan, they would be Buddhists. Because the issue is not being enamored and loving the message of Christ. Because surely People in Japan have the internet. They can find out about Christ. They've heard about Christ. But that's a weird religion or whatever. The religion of their fathers, the religion of their mothers, the religion of their brothers and sisters, and the whole freaking country as a whole is Buddhism. And so that's the current. That's the mainstream. They throw themselves into the mainstream because everybody wants to be loved and accepted. If you were born in India, I bet you you're going to be a Hindu. Does that have anything to do with Jesus Christ? Let's put it this way. Does it have anything to do with the truth? No. No. There's no standing against that tide and saying, I want to know the truth. I don't care what my father and mother believe. I don't care what my nation believes. I want to know the truth. No, that doesn't happen in Hinduism. And it doesn't happen in Buddhism. If you were born in the Middle East, you'd be a Muslim. Because again, that's the most popular religion. And you can see that in all three cases, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islamicism, they all have a common denominator. It's the prevailing, popular, accepted religion. Now we move to the West. If you're born in Europe or in America, chances are you're a Christian. But I claim to you that there's a common denominator, besides that these three are mainstream religions, these four religions are mainstream. The common denominator is it has nothing to do with an independent search for truth. And that too is planted into every human being. Every human being needs to know God, needs to know why everything exists. And these various religions in various parts of the world offer you explanations of it. And all of these explanations are terrible. And all religions come with a set of rules and regulations and punishments. All these religions have this in common, is that their God is vindictive and penal. And he will come up against you if you disobey him. All the gods, including the false god of Christianity. And so it's not that Christians are in love with Christ. They're in love with the most popular religion. If your dearest friend, who is the most stalwart Christian, was born in Japan, they wouldn't be a Christian. They would be a Buddhist. A Buddhist, because they can't escape this default setting of wanting to be loved and wanting to be accepted. In 2 Timothy 4:10, listen to this. This is a railing accusation of Paul against one of his former associates. And yet it's the most subtle accusation you can think of. And it's one sentence. Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he says in 2 Timothy 4:9, endeavor to come to me quickly, for Demas, loving the current aeon, forsook me and went to Thessalonica. That's it. He forsook me and went to Thessalonica. Why? Because Demas loved the current aeon. That is the common denominator of all people who go with the mainstream. And I'm talking about mainstream anything. You want to live in a neighborhood. You want to have a house like everybody else. You want to have a job where you tell it to people and they respect you. This is why people who are garbage men call themselves sanitation engineers, because they're measuring themselves against other people who are supposedly respectable occupations, doctors, lawyers, computer technologists, computer programmers, consultants, whatever. And so they want to be sanitation engineers. It's the wanting to fit in. You'll even manipulate yourself in order to fit in. This is never a good thing. Demas wanted to fit in because he loved the current aeon. And I'm telling you that this is a railing accusation. The aeon is the time frame we are living in. Paul calls it in another place, Galatians 1:4, the present wicked aeon. It is evil in that the main concern of it is fitting in, being loved, and not going against the prevailing winds. And yet God has set up his truth so that to receive it, you must suffer by going against the prevailing wind. Isn't it odd that Christianity is the most popular religion in the world? That should raise a red flag for people, but it doesn't. Islamic religion, very close second. I told a friend of mine recently, a very good friend, that I hated this world. The world, I hated this cosmos. The world is the system we live in, the way things work, and the eon is the time frame during which the system prevails. I told this good friend of mine, I hate this world. This friend of mine was shocked, absolutely appalled. How can you say that, Martin? It's a beautiful world. Look at the beautiful sky, the trees, the birds, the bees. I said, yes, but this world crucified Jesus Christ, and this world is only interested in looking good and preserving itself. This world is not interested in truth. It's not interested in forsaking all to gain the truth. It's not interested in looking behind the religion of your forefathers to see if there's anything there, to probe. You know, a third-rate mind goes with the flow. A third-rate mind goes with the flow, goes with the mainstream. A second-rate mind goes with the minority. So I'm not saying by definition you have to go with the minority. A first-rate mind thinks. It doesn't think like the majority. It doesn't think like the minority. It simply thinks. It simply applies itself to discover not only the physical world, but the spiritual world. How can anybody hate this world? This world, this eon crucified Jesus Christ, this world is opposed to truth. John says this in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Be not loving the world, neither that which is in the world. If ever anyone is loving the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, that's what I've been talking to you about, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the ostentation of living. When we think of ostentation of living, we think of maybe Joel Osteen's mansion or someone who has to have the most expensive sports car. We think of Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate club. But the ostentation of living doesn't need to be anything other than wanting to not stand out as a strange person, to not stand out as a person who does not agree with the majority, because you are labeled a troublemaker, you will lose friends, you will lose family members. They won't talk to you anymore. So I consider that ostentatious. I happen to think that it's pretentious to have as your foremost need to be accepted, to be honored, to be esteemed by the majority of people. I think that is ostentatious. I think it's the same as putting feathers on yourself like a peacock and strutting around because you belong. Don't you feel good? I mean, you really do feel good when you go to a friendly place. I do. I mean, it is a human instinct. I'm much more comfortable teaching at a conference where I know everybody wants to hear me and they're my friends than I am going into a place that I know will oppose me. I avoid going into those places. My flesh is the same as any other flesh. I like comfort. I don't like confrontation. And yet, God has made it essential that you get out of your comfort zone in order to perceive the truth. Or should I say this way? Should I say it this way? The pursuit of the truth will force you to stare down a crossroads of two paths, the well-beaten path, where this is what everybody believes, or the not-so-well-beaten path, the road less traveled by. You will look down that road, and you will find truth down that road. And God put those two things hand in hand, truth and the road less traveled. They're put in there hand in hand so that, one, you will be able to suffer for embracing truth. If you're not suffering in some way, if you're joined the club, if you, for instance, play the harmonica for the worship service, you're not suffering. You're accepted. You're a darling in the world's most popular religion. If I was accepted and loved by the world's most popular religion with millions and millions of adherents worldwide, I would ask myself, what the heck is wrong with this picture?